We began this chapter with Christ's preeminence in respect to others, and we looked at Paul. We're looking in this section, looking at Paul's challenge, and we began with Paul's challenge to be mindful, and then Paul's challenge to be prayerful, and then Paul's challenge to be watchful. And we didn't really finish that section because we were talking about watching and praying. And we ended with Romans 13:11. And we're going to go back there in a minute. We're going to finish out this thing about watching and praying and being sober. We know what it means to be drunken. When you're drunken, you don't know what's going on around you. You're not aware of what you're doing and how you're acting and all that's taking place around you, because your faculties and your, how you want to put, your senses are impaired. And God doesn't want spiritually, the world's impaired spiritually. They can't see what's happening. And I'm telling you, something is happening. There's no doubt about it. I rode by, was in Cleveland yesterday, and I rode by and there was an ATM that you can draw out Bitcoin money with. And I thought, oh, in the middle of Cleveland, nowhere, there's an ATM you can draw out Bitcoin money. Now, we know Bitcoin is cryptocurrency. And I know there's a big thing. People are scared to death the dollar's going to go away. But I'm telling you, the dollar's going away. I just saw on PayPal today that you can get you can pay with Bitcoin. You can get paid in Bitcoin. And we don't even know what Bitcoin is. It's cryptocurrency. It's electronic currency that you cannot hold or see. Don't tell me we're not going to catch the society. The world's unaware. They're drunken. They're partying. They're doing their thing. Happy days are here again. The government's giving us money. Until the government takes it away. Right? Beware of anything the government gives you. Because anything they give you, they're taking it back with some. That's a fact. It is a fact. And I'm just laughing. I said, boy, we are closer to this thing than we all can imagine. And the world changing overnight. Overnight, the world could change. Just like that. You wake up in the morning, and we don't have U.S. dollars. We have a worldwide currency known as Bitcoin. And any greenbacks you got at your house, sorry for you. Because they're worthless now. That's just the way things are going. They know people got money at home. There's thousands and millions and millions and millions of dollars people got stashed at their house. Common sense says we should. Because you never know when the ATM's not going to work. Right? That's a way to grab a lot of wealth, isn't it? You grab a lot of wealth that way. Because all of a sudden that money don't exist no more. You know, like them Confederate dollars? Sorry, can't use that no more. We're not accepting it. We're not asleep at the wheel. We're not drunken. We're sober. We see what's happening. Lost world don't know what's happening. But we do. Look in our text. Look in our text. Verse 1 and 2, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye have also a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and hear what it was. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Man, we got to be aware of what's happening. We got to continue in prayer and watch in the same. And remember, I made mention of what happened to Peter and the boys because they weren't watching. I mean, when the crowd showed up, they're wiping the fog out of their eyes. It's no wonder Peter cut the guy's ear off. First of all, Peter didn't know how to use a sword. Next thing, he's too asleep to handle the sword the right way. Right? If he'd have been thinking, but again, you say when you're sleeping, when you just get out of bed, you're not thinking right. And boy, a lot of people in this world aren't thinking right. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for the word. Pray that you'd bless it. Lord, we're not ignorant and we're not asleep as the world is. We can see what's happening and see that perilous times, Lord, they're right in front of us. And the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And Lord, those things that lead up to Jacob's trouble, perilous times that the Bible speaks of. And God, I pray as God's people, we'd watch and we'd pray and we'd be aware of what's happening. Lord, that it wouldn't take us unaware, like it's going to do so many. Bless the word and help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We left off in Romans 13, verse number 11. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Romans 13. Let's just jump off there since that's where we left off 2 weeks ago. Appreciate Brother Doug filling in for me last week. Romans 13 and verse number 11. And it says this, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What are we supposed to do? Wake out of sleep. Hey, we're supposed to be watching. This thing isn't supposed to be taking us by surprise. Hey, when the trumpet sounds, it's going to be a surprise to the world. But is it a surprise to the child of God? No, we're expecting it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I run you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. A woman's pregnancy, many times, she knows she's going to have a baby. She don't know when she's going to have it, but when it comes, when the baby's coming. And you can't stop it. And so is the rapture, and so is the revelation. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Pay attention. Notice what's going on. You know, God's people ought to be the most alert people in the world anyway. I pay attention to things as a pastor. And usually when things are going wrong in people's life, I know it's going wrong way before it's publicly manifested. Because I pay attention to looks. I pay attention to gestures. I pay attention to demeanor. I pay attention to all that stuff. And I know when things are going wrong in people's lives, things change instantly. And many times I've noticed it here and in other places. That sweet personal relationship you have with people. Brother Chris, hey Pastor, Brother Chris. All of a sudden, hey guy, how you doing? What is that? Hey mister. Okay, there's been a change. There's been an immediate change. And this person is on their way out the door. Now, they're here, but they're not here. Because now, okay, I've noticed the change. The level of love and respect has changed. Boom. And now I just notice, I watch their demeanor during the service. I watch how they pay attention. I watch all those things. Because I said, see, I'm not making this up. It's something's changing. And it's not long, and their attendance begins to change. Because they've already made that decision. And they're channeling it. They're showing it. And again, you pay attention. Any husband knows when the wife's got a problem. And any wife knows when her husband's got a problem. Because there's an intimacy there. And any time the intimacy is broken, then all of a sudden the kiss isn't the same. The touch isn't the same. The look isn't the same. Because something's changed. Same thing with children. I know when kids, I talk to parents and say, hey, I know you're having a problem. I can see you're having a problem. I didn't tell you because it's really none of your business. But I did go to that parent and talk to them about their child and say, look, things are going off the rails. And he said, I know, man. I said, I know. All we do is pray, but I'm telling you, it's going off the rails. And it ain't going to be long. I pay attention to everything. You think I don't? I do. Just because I don't say everything, and I'm not real emotional and mad and hateful, I try not to be. I can be. But that didn't mean I didn't see it, and I'm not thinking about it. I pay attention. If a man at church talks to a woman too long, I saw that. I paid attention to it. I didn't like how he was looking at her. I didn't like how she was looking at him. I paid attention to all that. Just like if you saw me doing it, you'd think, what's that all about? You'd say, what's up with Pastor? Why was he over there looking at that woman that way? Wouldn't you think that? If you're paying attention at all, you would think that. Pay attention. You know, you want to witness to people and you want to reach their soul. Pay attention to their demeanor. Pay attention to that look on that grocery lady's face and see if she has any joy going on in there. I ran to a lady at Walmart last night and she was in the aisle blocking the whole aisle. I mean, they were blocking the whole aisle. And Walmart's reworked their thing, so, you know, the neighborhood Walmart, I hate it. But anyway, they reworked it. So you're there and you clearly can't go anywhere. You're there. And I'm looking at her. She came off with a hateful, mean remark. And I said, hey, ma'am, it's common to see love and respect. There's too much hate going on in this world. We all got to stop that. She said, you're right. I'll get out of the way. you know, I'm not in that big a hurry. Is it rude to block the whole aisle with your two carts? Well, of course it's rude to block the whole aisle with your two carts. And if I was doing it, they would come unglued. But I don't want to be them. And I can see that they're hateful and they got an attitude. So what do? I diffuse the attitude. Because you're paying attention to their demeanor. You'll come across someone and they're ready to kill themselves. But you're paying attention to their demeanor. You're watching and praying. You're looking for opportunities. Someone's cast down. Something's going on in their life. And you got enough sense to perceive that they got something happening in their life. And this is your opportunity to make a difference. Because you're what? You're sober. You're watching. You're praying. You got the right word. You know? A word spoken in due season is like apples of gold and pitchers of honey. Is that how it goes? Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. There we go. And I'm divining. You say, what's that mean? I'm making it up. So, but you don't understand what I'm saying here. The point I'm trying to make is you got the right thing to say that made a difference in that person's life. Because you're watching and you're sober. You're paying attention. You know? And what does God want us to do? Pay attention. Verse 7, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. See, you got that love in you? And you're looking for an opportunity to share it. Because you're what? You're paying attention. You're sober. You're aware. And again, you know, this being watchful thing is so important. Look in Mark 13. Mark 13, 33. I don't want God to come and find me sleeping. I don't. I don't want to be Peter, James, and John at that point. Now, they were young in their faith, and we got to cut them a break. They didn't have all we got. But after Christ has done so much for me, I don't want him to come and find me sleeping. I want to be sober. I want to be watching. Mark 13 and verse 33, it says, or verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and every man his work, and commanded the poor to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Hey, watch and pray. Be sober. You know, we don't have forever. You don't. And you got to use the opportunities God gives you. And to be effective for Jesus Christ. Luke 21. Verse number 36. Luke 21:36. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount of that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Now what did he say? He says, watch. Look at verse 34. I should have read verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. We cannot be caught up, so caught up in our own life that we don't think about anybody else's. Doesn't the devil want our life to be filled with cares? So you have no time to share your faith or tell anyone else about Jesus Christ or to bear anyone else's burden, because all you're doing is you're caught up with your own problems. Lord knows, I said, God, my problems are too big. I can't carry them. I said, if you carry my problems, I'll worry about someone else's. I laugh when people come to me and they have a need and this, that, and the other thing. I said, you think you got problems? I got more problems you can think of. But that's fine. You have to laugh. You have to laugh. Jack Woods, years ago, they needed $5 million to finish their new building out. This missionary came in crying and said, oh, the world's going to end if I don't get $500. And Brother Woods is laughing. He said, you need $500 and you're crying? I need $5 million. He looked at his treasurer, write him a check for $500 so he'll shut up. He did. He wrote him a check for $500. If you think God is that small, write him a check for $500. Show him God's bigger than that. Brother Woods got his $5 million. And he finished the building. What's the point I'm trying to make here? The point I'm trying to make is, God's a lot bigger than any problem you got. Watch and be sober and see if God can't take care of you. See if God can't supply and take care of everything you got going on. Your problem is very small. You're going to heaven. Christ has prepared a place for you. You're going there. You're going to have a crown. You're going to have a white robe to wear. And your problems, whatever they are minuscule. And don't let the devil deceive you into thinking your problems are big. Your problems are very small. You know who's got serious problems? Those people you run into are going to burn in hell forever. They got a real problem. And the storm's coming, and they're getting ready to go there. You don't have no problems. And that's why I say, don't get overwhelmed with cares of this life. With partying and, you know, this Christian crowd we got today, they think everything's a party and everything's a joke and it's all about how much fun I can have. That's not what it's about. I'm not against having fun. Have some fun. But that's not what it's about. Make sure when you're having fun that you're still being a witness for Jesus Christ. You're still letting your light shine. Don't be overcharged with surfeiting and, you know, and having a party. Verse 35, for as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We're supposed to be watching and praying. And again, don't get overcome with your circumstances and with your situation. And we do. Don't let it be bigger than what it is. Is God going to take care of us or not? Is He? We get so worried and consumed that we become totally ineffective. That's what watching and praying is all about. God's going to work it out. Romans 8:28 is real. And he's taking care of the sparrow. He's going to take care of you. He knows everything you need before you ask, and God's going to take care of you. You know what we say? What's the worst they can do? They can eat us. Right? We're still going to heaven. You know, we get caught up in this stuff, and we got to be careful. Because we're supposed to be child of God. We're aware. We're sober. We're not drunken. And we see what's going on. It is so important. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. He says this. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, Peter knows he's going to the cross. But what's he say? But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then what's he say? Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. What's the ideal here? You're sober, you're aware, and you're using your opportunity to show people the love of Jesus Christ. Above all, how will people know we're Christians? By the love that we have one for another. And that's why when you go to the store, don't get caught up in the anger and the rage of our day. Because people are caught up in it. And it's terrible. Right? Don't get caught up in that. Grievous words stir up strife, but a soft answer breaketh the bone. Let your words be filled with charity and kindness. Don't rise to people's occasion. Be sober. Understand what the devil's trying to do. And man, it's easy to be mad. I was half mad today. I was. A couple times I was half mad today. Wasn't it you, Brother John? Put your mind at ease. You're trying to help people sometimes, and they don't even have enough common decency, love, and respect. It's not reciprocal. You're giving people things. You're going out of your way to help them. And then they can't even call and tell you they're not coming. I told the one dear lady, I said, I was trying to restrain myself. And I said, now, let me tell you something. I said, I have this thing for you. It's here. It's waiting for you. But if you think you're going to show up 2-3 o'clock today after you told me you'll be on you're on your way and you're going to be here in 10 minutes. I said, don't call me again. I did. I told that. You know? I don't want to hear it. Especially when you work 5 minutes from here. She called me yesterday. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'm at Eastgate. I'm on my way. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Uh-huh. Brother Paul must have put that walker up. You put that walker up in the back of the fellowship hall yesterday? Did you do that? That walker, that blue walker that was out front on the porch? Right, you put it up. Well, she calls today, and I said, I thought she got it. And I said, I don't see no walker. You didn't get it? I don't know where it's at. I said, well, let me look inside the building. Maybe someone put it in the building. I said, it's here. She said, well, I'm leaving right now, and I'll be right there. It doesn't take an hour to get here from North Shore, Chattanooga. And I was going to wait around for her, and after an hour, I said, all right, I got stuff to do. But I'm thinking, if that's there, when I get back, I'm putting it up, and they're not getting it. I don't like to be treated like, you know, it's more, come on. Have some common decency. You know? They said, Brother Chris, you're just being mean and hateful. I probably was. Sitting out there in the hot sun waiting for someone, you get mean. I had somewhere to go. I had something to do. You know? And I said, I said, Lord's saying, practice what you preach now. Control yourself. Miss Lisa went out and talked to him and smoothed it over. Thank God for Miss Lisa. Because I didn't feel like being nice at that point. You know? Is it a struggle sometimes to be nice? We got to be sober and say, that's the devil trying to make me mad. That's the devil trying to make me lose my Christianity. You know? And I said, okay. You follow me what I'm saying here, right? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Look in that verse again in our text. So be prayerful. Be mindful. Be prayerful. Be watchful. But what's he say next? It's continuing prayer and watching the same with what? Thanksgiving. God help us. We need to be thankful. I told a police officer the other day, we got some gas after we made some visits last night. And he got out of his car and he just, you know how you do, oh man, he's got this teenager out here. He's 16 years old, acting like an idiot. Got his shirt off. The other cops got him. And then he gets out of the car and he's shaking his head. And he just got off the computer, so he knows how much trouble this kid's been in. His mom walks up. She said, "You're going to juvie." Nobody wants to hear that, right? I told the police officer, I said, "Man, you guys got to thank this job. It is a thankless job. Thank God. Thank you for serving." It's no wonder cops are angry. I said, "Thank you for serving." I said, "We appreciate all you do. We need you out here." That ain't a job I'd want. And I said, "Man," I said, "thank God for the police." I tell all these kids, "It's a popo, it's a popo." And I said, "No, they are our friends. We love the police. We don't run from the police. We don't holler at the police. We show them respect. And when they ask us for something, we follow their simple commands. And if there's a problem, we can work it out at the station later." Wouldn't that solve a lot of problems? You reckon if George Floyd had gotten the car, he'd still be alive today? This kid who just got killed, you reckon he'd be alive today if he just put the cuffs on him and went and worked it out at the station? He'd be alive. The Bible says a wicked man fleeth when none pursueth. Hey, if it's no big deal, just go on down to the station and work it out down there. You know what I'm saying? And we hit the lottery and we don't even know it. We're Americans. We're free. Do anything we want. Go anywhere we want. Be anything we want. Why do you think all the people are massed at the southern border? What do they all want to be? Americans. They all want to be Americans. And then you have these people get on there talking about how terrible America is. I guarantee you, if it was that terrible, they wouldn't be trying to get here. America is a wonderful place. Everywhere in the world has their problems, but we don't have their problems. The police aren't driving around at night machine gunning people down in the dark like they do in Nicaragua and Honduras and El Salvador, like they do in Mexico, like they do in Brazil, like they do in Argentina. We all better be thanking God we're Americans. Death squads and all that other kind of nonsense. We got a lot to be thankful for in this country. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. I love this verse. And if we could apply this verse to our everyday life, it would solve 90% of our problems. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. And it says, "In everything give thanks." Well, my car just blew a tire. Praise God. You know what? I'd rather have it blow a tire in my driveway than to have it happen out on 75. If I'm going to have a problem, I'd rather have a problem where I can fix it than where I can't fix it. Lord, thank you for not letting that happen when I was on the road. Give thanks in everything. Hey, when our dear brother stole all the stuff out of the mission department, I said, "Well, thank God. Hallelujah. We're getting new stuff." Was it wrong for him to steal all that stuff? But he did us a monumental favor, because it's hard to throw things away, isn't it? All that trash needed thrown away, and we need it all new. I'm glad he broke the little air conditioners we had. Aren't you, Brother Paul? Because now we got heat and air. And it's nice. Which we would not have had we had the old junk. I told you. I've had my cars break down. And it was the best thing that ever could have happened to me, that they broke down. Because it was time for them to go to the junkyard. And I was just trying to make it happen. And God said, aren't you tired of being in that old, aren't you tired of that? I said, oh, you don't know how tired I am. I said, then let it go. I'll tell you, I left that old Pinto up on the up in Columbus on the highway, up on 71. We left it there. I never saw that car again. I never wanted to see that car again. I don't even know what I was thinking when I got that car. I wasn't, you know, small thinking has crippled us. God can give you something good to drive. He can give you a nice place to live. And He can give you good food to eat. You know? What's small thinking? Well, I'll just go eat out of the trash can. That is small thinking. We got a bum. He's walking around all over East Ridge. And he has a brain. Because you see him coming out of the restaurants and people are feeding him. He ain't eating out of the trash can. He got more sense than that. He looks like he crawled out of the trash can. But he's not eating out of the trash can. He walked in Subway. I looked at him. I said, you hungry? Well, you know I'm hungry. I said, okay. Get anything you want. He said, I just want a 6-foot sub. I said, you can get it 12 inches. I don't want a 12 inch. I want a 6 foot. 6 inches. Not 6 foot, 6 inches. You know what I mean? And I said, first of all, that speaks something. Because I told him, get anything you want. He said, yeah, I'll have 3 or 4 subs. If he'd ordered, I'd have got it for him. He said, no, I just want a 6-inch sub. I said, you want something to drink? Yeah. Just a medium Coke. Right? Now, well, if God can take care of an old bum who looked like he crawled out of a trash can God not take care of us? Be thankful whatever God's given you. Rejoice in what you have. Be thankful in all things. Romans 8:28. I think I remember how it goes now. Oh, it's so funny. And we know that all things work together for good to them love God, them are called according to His purpose. I do know what the verse says. Sometimes the synopses aren't firing, but I do know what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them love God, them are called according to His purpose. So can we give thanks in everything? Yeah. And God brings bad things into our life for good. Was everything that happened to Job bad? Sure it was. But it was to honor and glorify God and to totally enrich Job in the end. Because he had twice as much as he had of anything he had before. And to show the faithfulness of God through the whole thing. God brings bad things in our life to make us grow. You ever had growing pains when you were kids? Some people never had it. Man, I had it bad. Because I was so short. And man, if your legs grow 3 or 4 inches, sometimes more, in a very short period of time, the pain you have at night when them bones are growing is excruciating. But is God using the pain to make you better? I remember one year I had a bellyache every night for 6 months. They had me to the doctor. They were checking me for everything. Dad thought I was making it up. I wasn't making it up. Something was happening in me. I was growing, and I had the worst stomach ache every night between 7 and 8 o'clock, something like that. And it was so painful, I couldn't stand it. But God was allowing that to make me into who I am, physically. If you're going to grow, there's going to be some pain involved. And you got to thank God for it. You know? You know what I try and do? I say, God, thank God it wasn't worse. That's what I say. Thank God it wasn't worse. When the car fell on me, broke my collarbone, smashed my shoulder, I said, thank God it wasn't worse. It could have been. It could have been a lot worse. We thank God in everything. You know? It's how you look at it. And see, your perspective is everything. If you see it the way God sees it, that's why Job said, hey, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, not evil also? The Lord give, the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all perspective. And how you're seeing things and being thankful. God knows we need to be thankful. Ephesians 5:20. And it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't give God thanks for the bad things, then you don't deserve the good things. We give God thanks for all things. A Christian years ago in the cave, he's sitting there with his water. He's hiding for his life. He's got an old crusty, moldy piece of bread. And this was his prayer. He said this. He said, all this in Jesus too. Think about that for a minute. I got some rock hard piece of bread that's mold all over it. I'm in a cave hiding from my life. And I got a cup of water. All this in Jesus too. Instead of being unhappy what you don't have, be so thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for what you got. We get this whole generation's worried about what they don't have instead of being happy with what they do. And we go wrong when we are not godliness with contentment is a great game. Be so thankful for what you do have. Well, we don't have many people here tonight. Thank God for the ones we got. I mean, the doors could be closed. I ain't getting mad. I thank God for every one of you. And you know, and we this whole ideal of one unhappy generation because they can't be thankful for what they have. You know? And if someone in America can't be happy, you can't be happy anywhere because we got more than anybody. Paul's challenge. Be mindful, be prayerful, be watchful, be thankful. We'll start next week with be fruitful. I don't know about you. I want to bear some fruit. And I want to see some people come to Jesus Christ. I'm going to rejoice when you got fruit on your tree. But I want to rejoice that there's going to be some fruit on my tree. Right? Brother Gale brought some tomatoes. And man, I was happy for them tomatoes. I was. I had some more today. They were awesome. Thank you, Miss Susan. I told Gail, thank you. But you know what? I'm going to rejoice more when they're out there hanging on my tomato vine. Because then it'll be my warm tomatoes that I'm picking off the vine. I'm glad when you win someone to Christ, but I'm even more glad when I win somebody to Christ. Because I want to be fruitful. And these are simple things, but they're so important. Let's pray. And then we'll turn the feed off and we'll read that prayer letter and we'll have a couple prayer requests. Father, we thank you for the word today and pray that you bless it. These are not things that people can't understand. They're simple things, but they make and break us as a child of God. And Lord, to be mindful, God, it is so important to be prayerful, to be watchful, God, to be thankful. Lord, you've commanded all these things, and God, to be fruitful. We're going to look at next week. And Lord, every child of God needs these things in their life. And Lord, and to watch. God, how important is that? Bless the word. Help us to practice it. And God will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's look at our couple prayer letters here tonight.